As you mentioned, my name is Mike Strodman with Minnesota Rural Water Association, and Scott Burlingame with the City of Park Rapids is here. Scott asked that I would give the presentation today, although I wanted to make sure that he was here. He's there day in and day out for the last 20 years, and he's the individual that takes the heat, you know, from the residents, the council, and everybody else in regards to the insurance of clean and drinkable water. Just kind of some background, as you mentioned, I was a city planner for the City of Park Rapids, so I was able to have a little bit of experience in looking through it on that set of eyes. Then an individual on the city council resigned, and then after I left with the City of Park Rapids, still living in the community, they asked that I serve on the city council to fill the rest of that term. We were actually looking at moving to Bemidji, and so I said, you know, it wouldn't be in the best interest. I didn't want to have a couple changeovers, although they were adamant that I did sit on the city council, so I did for a while. I was there for a few months. And so I was able to view the water issues through the city council's eyes also. But Park Rapids is located in north central Minnesota. Most of you may know it more of a recreational destination in the summer months. You know that a lot of people come and enjoy Park Rapids. Their year-round population is 3,700, but if you went down Main Street on 4th of July or any time in June, July, or August, you'd soon see that there are a lot more people than that in the community utilizing the parks along with the sewer and water system. When you come up Highway 71, one thing that I now notice is a difference. You know, you look on the east side, and as you travel farther north and east, you see a lot of woods and lakes, what a lot of people come up and enjoy. When you're when you look off to the east and the south, or sorry, the west and the south, there's a lot more ag fields. And agriculture is a big business in the Park Rapids area. Very sandy soils, and it's the farmers enjoy growing the potatoes there. They do well with that crop. There's also a large manufacturer right on the south side of Park Rapids. They are the producers of the potatoes and process them there, and they distribute their potato products around the world. So it's a big economic part of the Park Rapids area, too. They're a large employer for the area. Here's a picture of the DWISMA. The City of Park Rapids had an approved Wellhead Protection Plan in 2004, and this is the drinking water supply management area that was approved with that plan. Maybe a little bit hard to see, although the wells are on the eastern side of that on that map. And as you can see, when you look farther to the west, you see a lot of irrigation pivots. If we had a snapshot of what that looked like this summer, the geography is a lot different in the terrain. A lot of that area has now been disced under. All the pastures, a lot of the pastures have now become fields with pivots over them. The small segments of forested land, too, you see a lot of that is now gone, too. They cleared, grubbed it, and now the pivots can make full circles. If we were to zoom out even farther, you have the Ponsford Prairie farther to the north and the west and up through the Osage area. There, too, is a lot of agriculture. And as you come to the south and the east, there's a lot of pivots, and it stretches, as I mentioned, over to Osage. And then it swings south of Park Rapids over to the Hubbard Prairie. That area, again, is well known for the ability to grow potatoes and a lot of them and good in size. Also been a lot of articles recently in newspapers and such talking about deforestation and new fields and pivots. That's been big. Some of the articles now have been for the Cass County, but it's been really big in the Hubbard County area too. As I mentioned, in November 2004, the city's Wellhead Protection Plan was approved. Although, if you talk to Scott, as Scott mentioned, he's been fighting nitrates for 20 years since he started working for the city. It's been an issue since the beginning. And throughout the entire time, the city's been working closely and made good partnerships with the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Health, the producers, rural water, and definitely the stakeholders within the community. Definitely getting the residents involved. It's obviously made the newspaper quite a bit also with the nitrate issues and the need for new wells and treatment, et cetera, and their concerns of higher water bills in effect. So as I mentioned, there's been numerous meetings getting all the stakeholders together around the table and talking. Everybody comes with a little different perspective as to what they're trying to do. Everybody understands and knows the other person's reasoning and purpose for what they do. And collectively, there's a feeling of the want for common good. In addition to working with the producers, they've also, as I mentioned before, done a lot for education towards the residents of Park Rapids, installing wellhead protection signs, fact sheets, brochures, and just trying to get the word out about wellhead protection, why it's important, and why they're doing it. As part of the meeting with the stakeholders, this map was made by the Department of Agriculture with Luke Stewie, and it is a nitrate sampling network. And what they did was they took 18 wells in and around the Duwisma, and they would go around and collect the water samples. At first, the residents would bring the samples into the city, and the city would have them analyzed. They did this on a monthly basis. It then went to a quarterly basis, and most recently is biannually. The wells are at various depths. Some of them are drilled. Some of them are sand points, varying from about 17 feet to 70 feet. And this data has been collected since 2008. And as you can see, here's just kind of the high, the average, the median, and low of the results from those wells. Some of the wells, as you can see, do show up as zero, don't have any nitrate in them, although some of them have 25 up to 30 parts. Yeah, even if you look at the average, though, the average is right around that 10 parts, which is, per se, the magic number. We also have some graphs of the city's wells. This data goes back to 92, and as you can see, is just a slow general trend upward. And then towards the end, once you hit about 2005 or 6, then it really starts to climb up in a hurry. Well number 7, I'll show you in the next couple slides the maps of where these wells are too. But the there again, it started off at about 5.5, you know, kind of bounced around a little bit. As you can see, though, there was a lag, and I talked to the city staff about that lag, kind of interesting to see. And anyways, that's when they didn't use that well for a couple of years. And when they would leave the well idle and only collect it for the sampling network, run the pump for 15 minutes, it would come back these results. Then when they did put the well back into production, then the nitrate levels began to climb again. Here's for wells 5 and 6. These are the two wells that the city presently uses. Again, you can see that dip in well number 5. It's about the same time period as well number 7. And again, this is when they stopped utilizing that well for a little while. When you look at well number 6, that one's just been a slow, continuous trend. You can see it a little bit of a climb and then a plateau, a climb and a plateau, and a climb and a plateau. So in 2008, the city was required to take well number 4 offline just due to the high nitrate levels of nitrate. 2 years later, with this, began to bring some concern to the city, wondering, you know, what the likelihood of other wells, again, having any spikes, and their inability with their infrastructure to blend to keep below the need of removal of more wells. In 2010, the city was required to take number 7 off the line, and now they're down to wells 5 and 6. This instantly brought up a lot of concern because they just lost half of their wells, and now kind of second-guessing their ability to even be able to provide enough water for the residents to use, especially during the summer season, individuals wanting to irrigate their yards and gardens. So instantly the city started to think of what can we do in the short term. And first thing they did was did some research on water bans and figured out, you know, what was necessary, what they would need to do, and how to let their residents know and the reasons why. They did all the work in background and let the residents know and instantly issued a water ban. Knowing that those are kind of the short-term fixes, they're also remembered in the back of their mind looking at the graphs as knowing that those trends of the other wells are continuing to escalate, nearing that 9 parts. And so they're They're thinking now if we put added pressure on the two wells that we have, is that going to move the nitrates closer, faster to the city's wells? And if so, how much longer do we have? So then they began exploring options of new wells and trying to find a different source of water to try to get away from the nitrates. In addition, they also held more frequently meetings with the producers, the Department of Health, and the Department of Agriculture to, again, bring the stakeholders around the table to talk about common themes and thoughts of what could be done. This slide is provided by the Department of Agriculture and kind of shows you that the typical rotation of the crops, corn, beans, and potatoes, and Luke Stewie with the Department of Agriculture met with the producers and talked to them about, you know, possibly implementing different rotation crops into their rotations. The slide on the bottom, you can see the four red circles. That's it. Right below that is Highway 34. So the north four fields, the owner of that field indicated that they would be willing to grow wheat on the eastern side of those fields, on the eastern two pivots, and take potatoes out of that rotation. The farmers on the south side indicated that they would be willing to grow sorghum or sedan grass for 2 years, and then the Alturas potatoes. They're again hoping to lower the amount of nitrogen needed to be applied and hoping that, you know, the wheat and the sorghum would uptake some of the residual nitrate. One interesting thing here, too, is when you look at the types of potatoes. You see the russet potatoes and the Alturas potatoes. The Alturas potato does require less nitrogen. The only problem with the Alturas potato is it doesn't fry like the russet potato. It doesn't get that golden color. And that's kind of the color that that we, you know, when we go and buy some French fries, it's that golden color that we recognize. It's not that white potato. So there's concern from the buyers of from the processing plant of this potato being introduced. So they use it in different means, so they're willing to grow that on that southern field. Here's kind of an overview of the proposed planting in 2011. This also shows you the wellhead protection area, that capture area of the city's wells, and how it runs through those fields. You have the wheat on the eastern side, they grow beans, and then on the southern side they did grow the sedan grass. One thing that was neat was the sedan grass, there's two parts of it. It's not real an economical crop, so the producer knew that they would be taking a significant hit for doing so. One of the suspected benefits of growing the sedan grass, though, is that it has a natural fumigant that would be a benefit for the field. So it was kind of a test run to see how that would work out. So as I mentioned, in relation to meeting and holding additional meetings, they also wanted to look for a new source of drinking water. This is actually shot on the eastern side of the river. Park Rapids is semi-divided by the Fishhook River, and the Fishhook Lake is to the north. So they were hoping that maybe by moving to the eastern side of the river that they could get away from the nitrate issue. So we went around and we collected a lot of different water samples from private wells in the area and submitted them to a lab to see what the water quality was. Did find a little bit of nitrate with one of the wells just south of the golf course. But there was a lot of iron and manganese within the water that in all the wells that we tested over there. The Minnesota Department of Health, assisted by putting hypothetical wells on the map, so the city kind of had an idea of where maybe that capture area was going to be. They didn't want to leave one problem and go to another. There is an abandoned dump farther to the east and south of Highway 34, so we definitely didn't want to another potential contaminants, but didn't want to possibly run into anything like that. Not finding anything real good farther to the north, moved a little bit south, and took some more water samples, getting closer to the core of the city. There again, it ran into some iron, although the city did get a grant from the Minnesota Department of Health and installed a test well. They ran that test well, although soon realized that not only is there a lot of iron and manganese that they would need to treat for, that the volume of water just wasn't there. They couldn't install enough wells to pump the water necessary for the residents. funding that news. They ended up going back over to the western side of the river. And in this time, they had spoke with and know a local well driller in the area. He talked of a deeper aquifer that he had finished a well in, and it brought some or sparked an interest for the city, and that the water was clean. The city drilled a test well. You can see where it says well number 8. Drilled a test well there and pumped it for quite some time. The water came back very good. So the city brought that to the city council and talked with them, thinking that this was going to solve all their problems, getting away from the nitrates and having clean water, not needing to put in an iron removal plant. About a year after pumping the well, they soon found iron and manganese within the water. Soon thereafter, the phone calls come from the residents indicating the water color, and then took the well offline. Along with iron and manganese, a lot of ammonia showed up within the water too, messing with the water chemistry and the chlorine. So the city's back to square one, still down to half the wells that they had, trying to provide enough water for the residents and knowing that something does need to be done. So they drilled a test well down by well number 7. You can see where I have test well wrote on there. That's where well number 7 is. And they put it in what considered to be the mid-aquifer, where a lot of the irrigators are located. Pumped it for a long time, found there to be a lot of water, volume more than the city would need. But in addition, there was a lot of iron and manganese in it too, at a point where they would need to install a treatment plant. Most of their infrastructure is up by that well number 8. That's where well 5 and 6 is. So they installed another test well up there and pumped that one for quite a long time. They then brought in an engineering firm with a mobile lab unit. And they pumped, I think it was for about a week, and they ran tests and continually did analysis on the water. Found there to be a lot of water again, although, again, ran into the iron and manganese. Here's a picture of Scott and run out and measure the static water level. And so each of the wells that they did the test wells on, it was amazing. So the volume was there, but as I mentioned, it was the iron and manganese that they kept on running up against. So in order to knowing the information that they had, doing all the research that they've been doing, and this is over a span of years, they went to the city council and informed them of kind of their recommendations and thoughts of what they've been finding. Again, do we use the shallow wells and install a nitrate removal plant? Their engineer did a cost analysis and figured it'd be, you know, $5.5 to $6 million for a treatment plant, and then with the additional O&M costs that the city would need to incur. Or do you go a little bit deeper and hope that you're away from the nitrates and treat for iron and manganese? The city decided to go with the iron and manganese removal plant. This picture is actually from, I'm going to say, about a month ago or so. A lot of progress has been made now. The building's enclosed, and they're waiting on some equipment. They are hoping to have this well up and running in late winter. So, and it only began a couple months ago. So the process has been moving along really fast. But, yeah, they drilled well number 8 and put up a new water or pump house, you know, invested $1 million in that. And that didn't work. Now they've now invested about $2.6 million into this present project. Looking at wells 4 and 7 that they've had to remove offline, along with all the other analysis and searching that they've done for drinking water, the conservative number that the city figures is probably at least $5.5 million to date in their search for drinking water. But all fingers crossed, they're hoping that that this new well will suffice their needs well into the future. I referenced the Fishhook River a couple times in the presentation, and here's a picture that a resident took. If you've been to Park Rapids, Highway 34 is just a little bit to the south yet, and you're looking north up the river. That's the fishing pier that you see is off of the county park that's right in town. So, does anybody have any questions? As I mentioned, Scott is here, so if you have any technical questions on the city's level, he'd definitely be willing to answer your questions too. Yes?
City consider purchasing that acreage, the ag acreage, and putting it into, I mean, it was within the wellhead protection area. Did they consider just buying it outright, taking it out of ag production?
They did. The farmer to the south said that they were not interested in selling. They're interested in purchasing more land. They could not afford to lose any more land. And, yeah, the farmers to the north, they did shoot a number, but, yeah, it was astronomical. And the question was, so then they were thinking about it, you know, investing a few million into the land or into the treatment. And then the question was, is how long will it take for that to clean up before it's, you know, come to a usable level? And I think it was kind of scary for the city council to roll the dice on buying that property. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
So the new well is capturing the lower aquifer. So is it different from the one with nitrates? So how you guys know that aquifer is not connected to the upper one, so it's going to be contaminated in the future because it's being pumped?
Right, and that is definitely the uncertainty, and that's why they're, yeah, when I mentioned they're hoping, yeah.
Was the well double-cased?
I'm not sure, yeah.
Put in the Department of Health specs.
Yeah. And that is where the majority of the irrigation wells in that area are finished, too. Yeah.
Any thought of recovery, you know, some kind of cost allocation or, you know, given the source of the nitrates and the cost of the treatment?
Right.
Nope.
Yeah. They, it's a tough political issue in the area too. I know they did, or the city's going to send a letter to that individual, to those farmers and see if they would be willing to assist. I think if it went out, it was like a week ago. So it was one of those, give it a shot and see what happens. So
I was just wondering if the price tag included infrastructure, new reservoirs, towers. It seemed awful expensive for just treatment.
I'm sorry, say that again?
What sort of infrastructure goes along with the price tag? Are you building new reservoirs or water towers?
The 2.6 million?
I heard 5 million total and 2.6, okay. I think, was the iron and manganese treatment.
Yep, the 2.6 million was for the plant that they're building right now, for the iron and manganese removal, and well number 9, the well that they drilled. And then it was $1 million for well number 8 in the pump house. And then they had well number 4, which is 4 and 7. Yep, the infrastructure for wells 4 and 7. But not like water towers in that. No, that was just for the wells in the well houses.
Other questions?
Yeah.
Mike, what do you see as a resolution? Where is this going to go? There's increased costs that are being borne by 3,000 people. They can't afford to keep doing that. So what's the long-term solution? What's the city council discussing regarding that?
Yeah. Scott, do you know that one better?
Raising water rates. We actually discussed that last night.
Yeah, their only remedy right now is increasing water rights, or the water rates, as you mentioned, borne by the citizens. Yeah, so they're going to have to increase the base fee. One thing that was nice with this project is the city did get 1.3 of that as a grant. But, right, the residents will come have to pay for the other 1.3. But, yeah, long term, that's a great question. And it's... They were hoping well number 8 was going to be the solution, you know, and so hopefully well number 9 will be.
What's the attitude of the residents about this?
It, Yeah, it's tough. It kind of gets into the politics and the economics of it. They're paying for the higher, paying for the water, but looking from the various sides of that, a lot of them are employed by the potato processing plant to the south. So you hear from some of them a lot of anger towards it, but some understand. So it's kind of a mixed bag.
Alternate crop project make any difference?
What's tough there is just knowing, that time lag to see if it actually would do any difference. That was tough to analyze that and quantify if there would have been any difference.
I'm curious. I mean, this doesn't really seem like a great solution, but we know in other parts of the state, the Rural Water Association pumps water elsewhere and pipes it in. Is that being considered or talked about, or is it not an option in Park Rapids?
There aren't any rural water districts or systems very close by. One of the areas that we did look for a different water was farther north, and then to pipe the water back down, so to get up into more of the woods. There just became sheer economics too. The cost per foot for pipe, it bounced up into the millions in a hurry. Yes.
Are those cropping systems that they experiment with continuing now? Is that going to continue for a while, and is it being monitored in some way? It is, like you said, a long-term issue, or is that just a once-in-a-while, now you've got the treatment plant, we're off and going again?
I know the fields on the north side was just a one-time deal. The one on the south, they indicated that they would continue to do that, and I think they have to date. I'm not sure if that's their present plans, but over the last few years, two, 3 years, they have. Yep, they've kept to it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. All right. Thank you.
What is the 25%? Rates going up 25%, water rates?
Okay. The question that I just had for Mike was, what do they expect the rate change to be, and it's 25%?